Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, our God. We were just now singing with all our hearts, and we were thinking by it, as with Enoch, he was translated, and he was not found on earth. Also we will be translated and not be found on earth. Two will be on one bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Every word, every thought which is expressed in the Holy Scripture is precious. One could go deep into it. When I think of that they now celebrate the 197th birthday of Darwin, the man who invented evolution. Evolution theory he invented, that in 1925 was the first argument in the USA whether one shall believe it and teach it or not. And then we read in Hebrews 11, by faith we know, by faith we know that God spoke the world into existence through his mighty word. Darwin actually, in the moment when his 10-year-old daughter died of cancer, he should have repented and he should have asked, what do you want to tell me by this? The opposite was the case. He turned against God. Now, we are just so thankful for the grace which the Lord granted us. And I would like to welcome all of you, especially all those who are here today for the first time. We have a visit from Israel, one sister who knew Brother Menard, and now she stays in Düsseldorf together with her husband. Where are you? Please stand up. Yes. This is now the new couple. God bless you in our midst in a very special way. Then we have our brother Prince Hempel from Ghana in our midst. Is he somewhere? Or did he make a visit somewhere? In the moment he is not here, then he will most surely come too late. Then we have visit from South America, from Brazil. Where are our brothers from Brazil? Please stand up. Yes, please stand up. There we have our brothers from Brazil, from Portugal. God bless our brother from Portugal. God bless our two brothers from Brazil. Feel free in our midst. We are, of course, a great family in the Lord. Then I see our brother Ellis here from Edmonton, Canada, who came together with his family. Please stand up. Where's the rest of the family? God bless our brother. Where's the rest of the family? Somewhere scattered. Mommy and two children, son and daughter, they are sitting somewhere in the meeting. God bless you. May he bless all who are here today. Where do we have visitors for the first time? Please raise your hands. Who is here today for the first time? Please stand up. All those who are here today for the first time. God bless. God bless. May the Lord bless you. Everywhere, from near and from far. We have a whole bus here from Romania. And the brothers and sisters, them we welcome in a very special way. Whoever travels 1,700 kilometers to hear the word of God, he confirms that what is written in Amos 8, verse 11. God will send a famine to hear his word. And this we really see fulfilled before our eyes. Then all our brothers and sisters from Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Poland, from Italy, from Switzerland, from Austria, from France, from the Netherlands, from Belgium, from everywhere, the brothers and sisters are here, are gathered here to hear God's holy word and to experience their preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we have greetings from half of the world, from Kenya, from South Africa, from all over Africa. And Brother Wallström is greeting us. Brother Manfred from Chile is sending greetings. Yes, many brothers and sisters. Brother Joe from Lima, Peru is sending greetings. All are greeting us in the name of the Lord. Then we have Brother Graf in our midst, who made a visit in Chile in March together with his wife, and they were a blessing to all our friends in Chile. Brother Graf, please stand up so that all the people can see you. This is Brother Graf from Switzerland, and God blessed our brother and sister, and he used them in a mighty way in Chile, and he made them a blessing there. Then we have Brother Daniel here from Timișoara, Romania. Please stand up so that all can see you. Brother Daniel, we all know him. God bless you in our midst. Brother John from Bucharest is sending greetings. And this we just pass on now. Then we have our brothers from Paris here, Brother Didier, and all our brothers from Orléans, from Brussels, from Lyon. Yes, one can really say from all over Europe we are gathered here. Brother Müller from Austria, whom did I forget? All the brothers and all the sisters, they have come to hear with us the word of God and to experience God's presence and blessings. Just feel at home. Then we have a very good news. Recently, we announced it here that a couple which is today in our midst, but which they don't want to be mentioned by name, they don't want to be honored now. They had it on their hearts to put our 5 brochures into one book. And from Monday on, this book can be purchased in all the 3 German-speaking countries, in every bookshop in the 3 countries. The main title is, What Does the Scripture Say? And then, the basic Christian teachings put to the test. Put to the test. And then, the brochures are listed here on the first page. Christianity, yesterday and today, God and his plan with humanity, the return of Jesus Christ, baptism, Lord's Supper, foot washing. It is written. Everything summarized in one book. And I would like to give each family one book. Not six books to every family member, but one book to each family I would like to hand over personally. For me, it's a great joy. I'm thankful that people are sent by God, are used by God. Whatever we cannot do, others can do. And God blessed them to do it. Then we have, at the end, also some pictures. And we have even, and I'm glad about it in particular, we have the book contains Jerusalem. The book contains Calvary, the garden tomb, and the whole of Jerusalem. This was on the heart of our friends, of our brother and sister. They had it on their hearts that Jerusalem, that Israel is not forgotten, and especially Calvary, that is not forgotten. To my astonishment, also the photograph of Brother Branham with the supernatural light is also in it. And even the picture, the photograph of the cloud is also in it. And this couple is sitting today in our midst. And they say, this God has put onto our hearts, and we are giving it to the church. Yes. This one has to imagine first. God bless you. Now and forever. Many things could be reported, especially also of the March journey through Pakistan. 8 meetings. And there, it really happens sometimes that the whole city is covered with posters and banners. And this in a Muslim country. 97% are Muslims. And yet, a large open-air meeting with about 100 policemen, some in uniform and the others in civil clothing, to protect this meeting of thousands of people. God, of course, protects anyway, but when then even police is there, then the people can see it. God is not always seen by them. So, we were very thankful. And you can all remember, one brother was here. He's part of the government. He's a member of the parliament. And just recently, he heard what God has done. And he was touched by it. And he was, of course, here on a first weekend in the year 2005. He was here. And he said, Brother Frank, this must be made known in our country. This, my countrymen, must hear. And so it happened. An open-air meeting in a large stadium. Thousands were gathered to hear the word of the Lord, transmitted by loudspeakers so that all could hear. Also those who did not come, they could hear. Is this not grace? Is this not the hand of the Lord? We are just very, very grateful for everything. To that, what happens in Rome, we will not deal with now. We all heard about it. who as the first one was crowned as cardinal there of the 15, namely Levada. He was the first one who bowed his knees and who kissed the ring and who was clothed in purple. And when one then reads in Revelation 17 and 18, one reads three times in a row of the city which is clothed in purple and which is decked with gold and pearls and so forth. Then one does not need to search for a long time. Then one just needs to read the Bible. And in this case, maybe also watch TV so that one sees the purple colors. And then back again into the Bible. And then no one needs to ask anymore who and what is meant by it. Then all know about it. We will not spend time with this. We just see in everything how the uniting, and just imagine the strange thing. Actually, I don't want to go into detail here, but even in Rome, the highest Jewish rabbi, he made a visit in the Muslim mosque, and he was inviting that the imam comes into the biggest synagogue and also makes a visit there. And the Pope declared the three world religions must work together to bring about the world peace. No comment necessary. The world order, the world government, everything is taking place and is materializing before our eyes. We are just interested in that, what God has to say to us, what He is doing in the church, what He has promised. And with this, the thought comes to me that after 2,000 years, it pleased God to bless Brother Branham as He blessed at the beginning, using him as the apostles and prophets were used by God to acquaint this generation, this last generation. And this, the member of the U.S. Parliament, Ashcroft, said in the USA, he said, "We are, of course, the first generation which must understand that we will be the last one. The first generation which must understand that we will be the last one." And God truly, at the end of the time of grace, He gave a prophetic ministry to acquaint us with the living God, with the plan of salvation of God, to acquaint us with it, and to experience personally Jesus Christ as the same yesterday, today, and forever. To become an ear witness, to become an eyewitness of that what God has done in our time, and especially in connection with the ministry of our Lord, who of course also had to be prophet. Some people are offended at this when we speak also of the humanity of our Redeemer. But He had to become man for the sake of humanity. God cannot die. God is immortal. That's how it is written. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. And our Lord had to take our place. He had to die for us in our stead. He had to take upon himself the separation from God. He had to cry out on the cross of Calvary, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In Psalm 22, it was written for a long time, but then came the fulfillment on the cross of Calvary. And he also had to be prophet, because God said through Moses, "A prophet like unto me God will raise up from among your brethren." Let us leave every scripture where it is and how it is. Let us see the connection, the context in which it is written, because there it belongs. We are just very grateful that God has given us the grace to respect His Word above everything. This reverence, may this reverence for His Word continue to be in us until the end. I would like to read some scriptures, and today we, of course, we will have the Lord's Supper, and I already now would like to include the time around Easter. We, of course, around Easter time, on Good Friday, we will be in Hamburg, God willing, on Saturday in Berlin, on Sunday in Prague, and on Monday in Stuttgart, in Böblingen. And today, I would like already to touch upon that, what took place on Good Friday. I want to include it here. And then I'm asking you to understand me in particular. The 1st and the 2nd of April have for me a special meaning. This is just like that. And we are looking up to the Lord. He will bless at this weekend beyond measure. He will save. He will give assurance of faith to those who do not have it yet. The assurance of forgiveness, of reconciliation with God. The assurance that God has accepted us in Christ. That we are not just observers or those who are standing outside, but being a member of God's household, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and sons and daughters of God. Just so nice that every word of God is true. Receive it, what we read now. And as we heard in the word of introduction, faith must be connected with the hearing of the Word. And when we hear God's Word, then we go with it, and we ask God that He does in us, in every individual, that He does whatever He said in His Word. We start with Psalm 98. Psalm 98, from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 98, verse 1 to 3. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done or finished marvelous things. The same word "finished" is written in John 19, verse 30. It is finished. On the cross of Calvary, it happened. It is finished. His right hand and His holy arm has gotten Him the victory. We're not only singing, "Jesus is the victor." He is the victor. He conquered death and hell. and he rose on the third day. Verse 2, the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the Gentiles. Verse 3, he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There's no salvation in any other, and there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby they can be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. When I saw this crowd, the word came to me from Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Are you now thinking on others, or are you thinking on yourself? Can you say, Dear Lord, I may include myself to this crowd, which one day in heaven will partake of the great marriage supper. And the singers, they sing time and again, they come from the east and west, they come from the south and north. Even that we from the various nations are coming together to hear the word is a proof that we are part of the bride church. They come from east and west. They are coming from the south and north. These are days and hours of preparation which God is giving us. In Ephesians chapter 2, we have the wonderful news of that, what really happened for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Did you place yourself personally into the first verse? And has quickened me who I was dead in trespasses and sins. In sins and trespasses. Receive it and accept it for you personally. All who did not yet make this experience of a conversion to Christ, may this be the day on which the word applies for each one personally in the singular. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. For his great love. What made the Lord of glory to become man because he loved us. What made him who has taken so much reproach upon himself as no other man who ever lived on the earth? It was love toward you, love toward me. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe on him should not perish, but be saved. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. It will not only happen then and then, it is finished. It has happened. The crucifixion, the death, was the reckoning with all of the past. The resurrection was the new beginning for all who died with Christ. As sure as he rose from the dead, so sure from God's side, we rose with him unto a new life. At the end of verse 5, by grace ye are saved. Blessed be the Lord. By grace. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is full salvation. Salvation which goes beyond time, which is valid for all eternity. And the nice thing is that it never has to be reversed, because the decisions of God are as his words, yea and amen. In verse 8 it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, no, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Not our own works, but the works of faith, which God has prepared for us beforehand, so that we can walk in them. Romans chapter 5, I just would like to read some very important verses which show us Calvary, the great day of reconciliation of God with mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, when no one of us could even ask for him, he already was asking for you and for me. When no man could yet turn to him, he already turned himself to us. And when the time was fulfilled, it happened. Verse 9, in Romans 5 emphasizes the blood of reconciliation. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. By his blood, justification, forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, salvation, everything was given to us by God through the blood. And as we will just now see, the life is in the blood. And so the Lord gave his life and his blood for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here we read the wonderful report, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 21 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And then cometh the end. We are just thankful for this word, which leads us into the whole plan of salvation of our God. But even more, showing us that we have been taken into it. That we not just receive a Christian lesson, but that we are joined with Christ. He joined himself to us so that we can be joined with him. He became like one of us so that we can become like him. Everything was arranged by God in such a way, according to the great plan of salvation of our God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, here we read 1 Timothy chapter 2. This verse one should actually leave out, but it of course goes all back to the original sin, to the beguiling, and then to the redemption. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. We don't want to go into detail. We just see Eve in the beginning of the created mankind. Adam was a created son of God. Eve was a created daughter of God. And then we see Mary, and we see the new beginning which God made by begetting through the Spirit to give to the flesh, which of course has a beginning and an end, just to give it a new birth from God by the Spirit, giving it to the whole mankind which would believe. And therefore, Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. And we may thank God. We can really thank God with all our hearts for it, that He has included us into this plan of salvation, that we truly could receive a full redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, and salvation and grace, being fully justified before God. And not the least is left, because there was this great day of reconciliation of God with mankind. Hebrews chapter 2, I read on purpose some scriptures so that we have a biblical foundation, that we really believe biblically. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, we have here the gospel. We have here a wonderful, a free-making divine message. And the nice thing is that it is true. The nice thing is that God personally was in Christ, reconciling the world with Himself. Now, just to show us the covenant which God made, two places from the Old Testament, from Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Here we have in verse 7 and 8, we have the covenant people and the covenant book. God, of course, foreshadowed with His chosen people Israel, He foreshadowed the whole plan of salvation, and He announced it. Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. And He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. This is the blood of the covenant. You can read it. Matthew 26. We can read it in Mark. This is the blood of the covenant. Leviticus 17. Here we have the declaration what God ordained with the atonement by the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11 and 12. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Not one's own works and deeds, but the blood, the life which is in the blood, worketh the justification. Verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no one of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you shall eat blood. And then comes verse 14 in Leviticus 17. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now, just to get the overall picture, in Leviticus 16, the whole chapter deals of the greatest day in the history of Israel, of the great reconciliation day, where the high priest once in a year entered into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood of reconciliation. I just read Leviticus 16, verse 17. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. A wonderful word. We could now go to the parallel scriptures in Hebrews, where our Lord, as high priest, entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies, having obtained an eternal redemption for us, and making it valid before the throne of grace. We go on to Isaiah 53. One of the most wonderful words in reference to the redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness, but also one of the most wonderful words in reference to the divine seed. And seed is always offspring. You can all note it down. 213 times the word seed is written in the Bible in connection with offspring, posterity. In mankind, the seed of Abraham were the descendants of Abraham. The seed of David were the descendants of David. 213 times God's word speaks in the various connections about the seed, about the seed of God, about Christ, about the church, about the seed. And here, in Isaiah 53, we read in verse 10, Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then Gethsemane is shown to us. We have it here from verse 11 in Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Also you and me, we belong to the many whom he has given atonement and justification, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear their sins. Has he done it? Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the many. Also you and I, because he has given his life for atonement, therefore and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Brothers and sisters, let us place ourselves into this text. He was interceding for you and for me. He was travailing for you and me when he fell on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to walk the way to Calvary for you and for me. He finished the redemption and reconciliation, and he has given it to us today. It shall fall so deep into us that it can become our personal experience of salvation, that we today at this place experience this great deed of salvation of our God, the atonement, the forgiveness, the grace and salvation, that we really receive it in such a way into us that we can just thank God for it, giving glory to his name, because we have been included into this plan of salvation. God was in Christ. We were reconciled with God. We crossed from death into life. His victory is our victory. Now, in view to the Lord's Supper, you all know about everything what the Bible teaches was always argued about. Always argument. Argument about Godhead, argument about baptism, always arguments. Argument about justification. I don't know why people argue. And as we said many times, there where revelation is, there is no arguing. And where there is arguing going on, there is no revelation. Let us read from John three special places or verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, in view to the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate. In the Old Testament we heard, whosoever eats blood, he shall be cut off from among the people. Because the blood was given for an atonement, given for forgiveness, and the life of the body is in the blood. So no one was allowed to eat blood. We have it even in the book of Acts, chapter 15, and then also in chapter 21, where the apostles decided, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the eating of blood is just not permitted. No one was permitted to eat blood. Now we are hearing from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I just read, because of time, I read verse 47. Verse 47. Actually, the whole chapter from 47, from verse 47 up to 59, which deals with it. In John 6, verse 47, our Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." That he may eat thereof and not die. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Here we have bread and flesh already closely together. Bread and flesh, my flesh, for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled. That's how it is written in verse 52. From verse 53 it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Remember the scriptures from the Old Testament. The life is in the blood, and no one should eat the blood. Now, in the New Testament, if we don't accept and receive the blood for us, then the divine life, which is in the blood, doesn't come even into us. Here we must looky here and listen closely. I read again from verse 53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life." Hallelujah. Praise God. He has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let us read on. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
In sich tragen um meinetwillen.
Ja. Yes. What a wonderful word. On which scripture do you think now? First Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. The things which are said in the Word, they must be understood spiritually. They must be received and revealed by the Spirit. No one needs to come here and to change the bread at the Lord's Supper or to change the wine into blood. No, no. The change of the life which was in the blood of the Lamb must take place in you and in me. His life must be manifested in us by His grace. And we read also from verse 57 and also 58. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Blessed be the Lord. All who received Jesus Christ, who received the divine life by it, the divine life which was in the blood, reconciliation, redemption, forgiveness, and then eternal life. He has given it to them who received forgiveness and reconciliation by faith. A full redemption God has given to us in Christ by His grace. Not just the places which belong to the Lord's Supper. From Matthew 26, we of course like to read these places which belong to the Lord's Supper, or when we have baptism, which belong to the baptism. Just reading always these scriptures which deal with the subject about that, about which is spoken of. And especially today also, when we will have the Lord's Supper together. Matthew 26, verse 28 and 29. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Most surely you were listening closely. We all know in the cup was wine. The Lord was drinking wine with His disciples. He was breaking the bread and He gave it to them. Today we will break the bread and we will pass the cup. But please remember John 6. In Him was life. Whoever received Him, namely receiving him just as He died for us, giving His body and His blood and life for us, then we have the true right to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to proclaim the death of the Lord. In Mark, these words are written even a bit more clear. Mark 14, verse 22 to 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." In Isaiah chapter 53, we were reading that he would give his life for an offering. And now, please take note here of verse 25. "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." One must always read on to get the answer from the Holy Scripture. In Revelation chapter 5, and this is actually that chapter which is given to us in connection with the opening of the seals. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Purchased by the blood from all peoples, tongues, and nations. From all nations, God purchased his church, the firstborn, all who were ordained to be sons and daughters of God, according to the pleasure of his will. And brothers and sisters, whosoever can believe this with all his heart, he receives by the Spirit of God the testimony that they are part of them, that it is not just an object lesson, but that it is addressed to me and you. He purchased you. He purchased me. And now, just look around you here. From all peoples, tongues, and nations. There on the balcony, it is being translated into 12 different languages. The whole world is listening today, up to China and up to the ends of the earth. It is really the divine message which goes forth for the last time, and this really unto the ends of the earth. In no religion, in no church is salvation, but only in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, the emphasis, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he has life in him by me, just as I have life by my Father." God in Christ and Christ in us. This is the plan of salvation of our God, being placed into the church of the firstborn, as we find it in the book of Hebrews, a church which really received the birthright. In 1 Corinthians, we just read a few verses from this well-known text. It's of course always read, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." There were men of God on the earth who were joined with God, who by inspiration of the Spirit have left the word to us, all the teaching which we need. I read verse 24, "And I hope that you see the add-on compared with Matthew 26,
in 1 Corinthians 11, Vers 25, sieht. Vielleicht sollten wir Vers 4.
Let us read verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body for you." This "for you" is not written in Matthew. It's not written in Mark. It's written here, namely there, where by revelation it belongs in the context. "This is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." It's just the words of the Scripture. And if you then see how the Spirit of God was leading the men of God in the Old and in the New Testament to at the right time bring the right word, and maybe also to illuminate it. Just as it is also written in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, here we have in verse 16 and 17 the words, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" We have been brought back into fellowship with God, reconciled with God, getting back the adoption as sons. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Oh, what a depth of the riches and the knowledge of God for the church. Something wonderful. Something glorious. In chapter 11, we have also the admonition, "But let a man examine himself." And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, we have in two verses the summary that we shall forgive one another just as God forgave us in Christ, that we do not lay any charge against the other, but that we receive full forgiveness, and also forgiving this brother and that sister. All we who are celebrating the Lord's Supper together, we who we believe that God was in Christ and reconciled the world and us with himself, we who we believe that in the divine blood was the divine life which we received, and this divine life is the eternal life, everything built upon reconciliation and forgiveness. Let us today forgive one another with all our hearts. May no one despise the blood of the new covenant and to reject forgiveness. Just to forgive one another with all our hearts, just as God forgave us in Christ, our Lord. And then it says here, in verse 31, and this has also a very special meaning for me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves," not the other one, "judging ourselves, each one examine himself, and then let him eat," not the other one, "leave it to the Lord. Let each one examine himself." And then we read on, "so that we are not judged." Verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Whether you believe this now or not, but I want to say it here for a testimony. It was in August 1975, many years back, and our youngest sister, Alice, she had a son with the name of Siegfried, and this son wanted to become a policeman, and he was participating in the shooting exercises, and somehow he was hit by a bullet in the head. And he fell into a coma, and he did not return anymore. And this just touched me so much. At the time I was in North America, I heard about it, and I came back, and on the way to Zurich, on that last weekend, just before that, I made a visit at my old friends in the city of Sülz, Heilbronn, and then it touched me so much because of what happened to my nephew, Siegfried Herrlemann, that I went alone to a nearby forest. And there, near the forest, Hans and Willy, they know the road there. There one can go a bit up, and then one is in the midst of the forest. And when one goes to the right, one comes to the old gravel pit. And I turned right, and I was torn in pieces on my inside. I said, "Dear Lord, why did this happen now? Such a young man, and he is no more. As you are hearing my voice now." And every time it comes from up, but from the right, "do not resist it. I have taken him to myself so that he is not condemned with the world." In that moment, this word came to me, "so that he should not be condemned with the world." God is faithful. He can give grace in the last moment. And before a man slides away, he takes him to himself so that he is not condemned with the world. Our God is a faithful God. To him be the honor, to him be the praise. And today, no one should remain closed up. No one should be left behind. All, from near and far, from this country and other countries, from all over Europe and all over the world, today, may all receive personally Jesus Christ by faith, experiencing their conversion and reconciliation and experiencing the grace of God, so that really no one is in the audience, be it here or be it all over the world. Also here, our friends in Chile, wherever you might be, that today really all hear his voice, accepting and receiving personally the sacrifice of Calvary, that they really get the access to God, making their personal experience of salvation, their conversion, their new birth, their renewing, experiencing them with God, so that this would be that day, that this must be the day and will be the day on which God gives us a full salvation by grace. So that we afterward, out of conviction, without thinking and without doubting, partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, but also finished in you and in me. That what happened on Calvary happened for you and me. And it must take place in you and in me. We are the redeemed flock. We are the fruit of that what was purchased on Calvary. And we are the seed which was sown and which came up. We are the offspring. Also about this, we could read a couple of scriptures. In summary, let us just say, we are still living in the day of salvation. We are still living in the time of grace. And let us be honest, it doesn't help anyone to speak about the subject of the end time or about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, if not parallel to it, and this is the most important thing, but parallel to it, the true proclamation and the true experience with God must be given to us. And today is that day where we really can receive it by faith. Each one personally of us can receive it. Thanking God. It happened for you. It happened for me. And now, it happened in you and in me. All of us, we found grace in the sight of God. And we are thankful to Him. About the foot washing, we will not say anything. This can be read in first... What is it? No. Where is it written? Tell me. John 13. Of course, John 13. It can be read there. There our Lord says, who washed the feet of his disciples, he said, an example I have given you, that ye should do as I have done to you. We are not asking why. We are not asking for what. We are just saying, he has said it, and we are doing it. Blessed is he who can believe with all his hearts and who can prove that he really believes. The Almighty God, who is today in our midst and who has spoken to us. He has saved. He has given assurance of faith. And He has blessed. And now we stand up to thank Him together for it. The brothers are coming to the front to break the bread. If the two sisters have a song which fits here, they could sing it. Maybe we sing firstly a chorus. Just as I am.